Few of us are in a better situation financially now than we were 2 to 3 months ago. Most cases, a lot worse. So forging the path ahead, let's talk about that for a little bit. What does that look like? How do you do that? So we put together some financial phases here that you may relate to in your situation. And these are the phases. And then I'm going to bring in our expert, Karen Wallace from Morningstar. She's got some answers for you, some help maybe that might get you through some of this. And help you sleep at night. That's part of it. If you went into this, so here's a piece of it, Karen. Let's go through it. There are some kind of like the buckets we have here. If you went into this dealing with debt or financial hardship, how do you navigate this? If you went into this okay, but you're now racking up debt or dealing with financial issues, what about if you've been saving for the future and you've seen those savings just drop, take a major hit? How are you handling it? And then if you're a retiree on a fixed income, how do you navigate through these types of times? Lots of people with lots of questions. I know you folks at Morningstar do such a good job at breaking this down. I found so many of the articles that you guys and your colleagues write over there so helpful and just refreshing and straightforward and easy to follow type advice. So, Karen, thanks for being on WGN.
Oh, thank you for having me, Anna. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, I've talked with your colleague Christine Benz before, and she's so helpful too. I just wonder. Let's start with that first thing. That first sort of the people who are sort of dealing with debt already had financial hardships, and then this hit. You know, what kinds of advice can you give to the person in that situation?
Well, you know, I mean, there is as you know that with the CARES Act, you know, Congress has authorized 401k plans to sort of allow larger loans up to $100,000 or 100% of the vested balance, whichever is less, you know, assuming your plan even allows it. You know, they also, you know, the CARES Act is also kind of allowing people to avoid the 10% penalty on the IRA and 401k withdrawals. But, you know, the big question, I suppose, is like, just because it's easier to borrow money from your 401k, is that a good idea? And one reason that financial advisors kind of tend to view 401k loans as a last resort is that, you know, you're borrowing against your own future. And, you know, the earlier you start making regular contributions to sort of like a tax-deferred retirement account is like, you know, that's a powerful wealth-building strategy, and you don't really want to derail that. But, you know, that being said, like, you know, like you're saying, these are like unusual economic times, and people are, you know, people are maybe not getting regular income. You know, it could be that a 401k loan does make sense. You know, rather than using your credit cards, which, you know, kind of, if you started out with any debt, if you're kind of living off of your credit cards and you start racking up expenses at interest rates that are maybe 17-18%, which is where some consumer credit cards are, you know, unless you have sort of a plan to pay that off, it can balloon out of control quickly, and it can be sort of scary and stressful. So, you know, it could be that it's an option for you, assuming that your plan allows it, and you would pay the interest, you know, to yourself, you know, just like you would when you borrow money from a bank or anything, you know, another financial institution. You would kind of repay that money to yourself as you repay the principal on the loan. You're kind of like refunding that retirement account.
Mm-hmm. Credit card, what about if you're on a low rate? If you're fortunate enough to maybe have the kind of credit score, or you find a really low rate credit card, is you really say that shouldn't, you should not turn to that in these times?
You know, it's just, I guess if you look at sort of like, if you look at your net worth, you know, it's your assets plus your liabilities equals your net worth, then, you know, if you have debt compounding at, you know, even if it's like 10%, 11%, 12%, that's just, you know, those balances can just kind of get out of control quickly. Like, you know, borrowing on credit cards is, like, they offer a huge convenience, but, you know, and new investors kind of starting out, if you're lucky enough to have a regular job, you know, it might be a good idea to kind of like start saving whatever amount you can to start saving up an emergency fund, which is like, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of essential living expenses in a place you can get to it fairly quickly, like, you know, like a checking account or a savings account or something like that. you know, and the idea is that, you know, by their very nature, emergencies kind of come up unexpectedly. You could lose your job. It could take some time to find a new one. And having some dedicated cash set aside can help you from needing to live off of credit cards, you know. But you know, as we've said, you know, it's a good idea for somebody who's not already in the situation where they are, you know, having to find other sources of income.
Right. Understood. Totally. Okay. This is a category a lot of people find themselves in. You've been saving for the future. You're trying to do the responsible thing, whether it's your own retirement or your kids' college or whatever that is. And now you've just seen your investments take a major hit. What are you saying to do there? Because there's a lot of people.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and when you see losses like 20% or so loss that we saw in the first quarter, you know, it's hard not to lose faith. And, like, you know, especially, I feel like especially now there's like sort of the backdrop of the global pandemic, you know, and your life savings is also kind of declining in value. Like, I think that's really anxiety producing. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, I would caution like against doing anything from like a place of fear. And even, you know, if you didn't sell and lock in your losses, the market rebounded pretty strongly in April, you know, so you probably have seen your balance climb back a bit. The market's still down for the year, but it's, you know, it's on the order of like 9%. So, I mean, maybe this could be a moment to sort of take a step back and think about whether your asset allocation like makes sense for this point in your life. If that first quarter was really scary to you and you're nearing retirement, you know, maybe this is sort of a good moment for pause, you know?
Right.
And my colleague, Christine Bunn, has written a lot about, you know, doing research and writing for pre-retirees and people in retirement. But
should you be moving things around that much in this environment? Like you start seeing the stock market go up again, you think, oh, wait a minute, maybe, you know, I don't know, reallocate stuff. Is this a good time to be moving around or getting into new stuff?
You're exactly right, Anna. Like, you know, you don't necessarily want to make like a tactical shift to your allocation if it doesn't make long-term sense. You know, if you're just kind of doing it from a place of fear, because, you know, stocks are prone to short-term volatility, but they have, you know, higher long-term return expectations. And if you want to, like, you know, make meaningful returns and outpace inflation, you do sort of need to have some sort of an allocation to stocks, you know, especially if you have a long-term time horizon. So, I mean, it really, this could be a good time to kind of take a gut check, but also think like, well, you know, how much time would I have to recover from a sell-off? Because, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to have been investing in 2008, and I'm glad I didn't leave the market permanently. You know, that is sort of the nature of the game with stocks. They are prone to short-term volatility, but they do have higher long-term return potential.
Mm-hmm. What about, let's get to that last category. You're a retiree, you're on a fixed income. How do you navigate these times? What kinds of advice are you giving folks in that category?
So my colleague, Christine, as we mentioned, she has done a lot of writing for retirees, and some of the recent topics that she's explored are, you know, how can you pick up a little bit of extra benefit from just kind of delaying Social Security past your full retirement age. So if you haven't yet filed for Social Security, this might be sort of a strategy that you might want to consider because it does bump up your eventual benefit. And she also recommends something that makes so much sense to me, and that's like looking at mortgage pay down. Because, you know, people getting close to retirement, even if they have like a pretty low rate, they're like, eh, you know, that seems fine. I'm paying pretty low anyway. But if you think about the other assets in your portfolio that might not be yielding as much, like cash isn't yielding as much, bonds are not yielding as much, it may turn out to, you know, be a better use of your money to pay down your mortgage now. That might turn out to be like a better long-term use of your funds. So, you know, her point there is more to look at like your plan in totality, not just like focus on the investment piece when you decide like where should I put my capital like right now.
That's a lot of math, figuring that stuff out. My head is hurting just here. Like, well, if you're a mortgage, how long? What? If I pay down this? I mean, I guess there are calculators probably available online that could help with that kind of thing, I suppose.
Well, I guess the sense that if you pay down your mortgage early, then, you know, you're not paying the interest rate over, you know, a longer period of time. Yeah, I suppose that's all.
I'm just trying to weigh against other bills and like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is a big project to figure this out. Here's something I hear, and I don't know that there's even an answer to this, Karen, but I'll ask you. People are saying in these volatile times, like you say, don't let fear guide you. But I keep hearing people say, well, I just wish I knew something that was safe to put my money, someplace safe. Is that even the right perspective? And what would you recommend to someone asking that question?
Well, I mean, there is sort of safety in the assets that are not prone to price volatility, you know, like cash, you know, and that's why my colleague Christine recommends sort of bucket portfolios. If you can think of your money, it is one big portfolio, but if you can think of your money in terms of like, what do I need in the next 5 years, make sure that you have that in cash or liquid alternative, you know, something like a money market or a checking account, you know, something that you can get to. You don't have to worry if the market kind of is volatile and over the next, like, you know, few years, I have the money that I need to live off of, you know. So you do kind of need to accept some of that price volatility to you know, maximize your long-term return potential, sort of like down the road. You know, if you have a goal that's 20 years away, then you do kind of need to invest in the riskier things like stocks. But yeah, I mean, I would say just kind of having enough cash in your portfolio that you don't need to worry about the next few years. I think that can be a huge, you know, that can be a big thing.
Huge help. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, Karen. Thank you. Thanks for the time today. And thanks for being on WGN. Karen Wallace, she is the Director of Investor Education, and she's with Morningstar.